Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. I'm Susan Jane, your podcast host for today. And we have got some exciting news. Now, I've been talking about this on social media. It's been coming. And today we have got the lovely Tina Irwin. Now, Tina, I want to give you a little bit of a background about Tina first before we cross over to her, because she has got an amazing story. Now, Tina was actually a commander in the US submarines. That to me, that's just amazing to start with, because I've never met anybody who has been in that at that level and in that position. So it's really, I want to ask her a little bit about that. But the reason behind Tina coming on is because she is, well, she's not a ghostbuster. She's a ghost helper, and she helps us understand ghosts and how we can help them. So that too was just ideal for me. But no more on me. I'm going to introduce you to Tina, and here she is now. Hi, Tina.
Hi, Susan.
I've just let the listeners know too, there is a bit of a delay for some reason between our talking, so bear with us. We'll get through this, and we'll get this happening. But first of all, Tina, give us a little bit of a background about obviously your life in the submarines and in that area, and how it became a ghost helper.
I think the easiest way to describe it is that I'm like a lot of people. I mean, there's nothing that special about me. I've always had some level of psychic ability, but hey, you know, whether you have psychic ability or not, you still have to make a living, right? And so in the 70s, I graduated from college and no one would hire me, but the Navy recruiter at my university in North Carolina was so adorable. I thought, you know what? I'll join the Navy. They have to pay us the same as guys. How hard can it possibly be? Men do it, you know? So I applied, and I was the first woman that they had accepted into an officer program and from my state. And over 7 years. And they said, we just don't really have women in the Navy. And I said, well, you do now. So here I am. And I became engaged to a submariner, which sent me to the submarine base in New London, Connecticut. And the first day I was there, I met my husband. And we've been together 48 years. So pretty cool. And I learned a great deal about how true submariners work. And I did progress to the rank of commander, but because of the laws that the United States Congress had, women could not spend more than 24 hours aboard a submarine. So women were not allowed on submarines until the last 10 years. I have been on every class of submarine made, but not over 24 hours. I worked for the submarine force, and I was a terrorist expert for the submarine force. I designed equipment that protected submarines from terrorist attack. And I had $100 billion in assets to protect. It was a very difficult job, but I met some of the most astounding and amazing men, including my wonderful husband, along the way. And it's actually a testimony to my husband, because it's very difficult to be married to a psychic. Very difficult. An awful lot of psychics don't stay married because it's so hard. That might be another interesting show. And so as I learned about submariners, they started telling me some of the psychic things that happened to them, that their intuition warned them that this was going to happen, and it did. And this was going to happen, and it did. And I tried to stop it. And this is what happened. I mean, I have so many of their stories that it showed me that men have a tremendous level of intuition and they use it, but they call it that gut instinct.
Yes.
And so I learned how to, when one of my crew members was talking to me, I'd have 150 men work for me at any given time. And I was always on a shore station. But when they talk to me, I learned how to listen to them, working on honing my own intuition. Are they telling me the truth? Are they genuinely scared? How do I help my crew member? How do I listen and do the right thing for them? And anyone who's had command of anything, whether it's you're the parent of a family, you still have command of something. You have to know how to listen and then connect that to your intuition and then make this work. So along the way, I seem to just run into ghost after ghost. And I didn't know how to cross them over. And we moved from London to Italy, we're 3 years in Italy. And then we moved from Italy to Charleston, South Carolina, which was where the American Civil War started. And of course, everything in Charleston is haunted. And the 18-month-old house we purchased was so profoundly haunted, I thought madness would set in. And I did not know how to cross over a ghost in 1979. I had no idea. And so it took me a while, took me years to learn how to do it. And it came about through this bizarre situation where someone tried to kill me. And in the process of my learning how to save myself psychically, I learned how to cross over the dead. There it is, wow. Summed up in a nice little walnut shell.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I can hear a echo. I'll need to put my headphones in. Tina, when you're I can't hear it now. Tina, when you're saying you felt a lot of ghosts, what I want to get an understanding of, and you're saying your intuition is quite highly evolved, and I understand that, but what does it feel like when there's a ghost around your place? I know ghosts have got negative connotations to them, and I know that they're not always negative. They could be lost souls. So what do you call a ghost? What is a ghost? And how do you know you've got a ghost in your environment or where you are?
Those are really amazing questions, and they're really important ones. So let me start at the beginning. When we die, we're all going to become ghosts, because the body that houses the soul will become exhausted. It's called the spark of life becoming exhausted. The Tibetan Book of Living and Dying by Sogyal Rinpoche gives the most accurate description of death that I've ever seen. I highly recommend it. I used to sleep with the book. It was so powerful for me. When you leave your body, the seed atom of the soul that lives in the heart begins to separate from the body. That's where your Akashic records are, the memories of everything you experienced in this life and previous lives. You disconnect from the Akka cords that connected you to people in this life. The seed atom of the soul begins the separation, like a spaceship that separates from the mothership, and the body shuts down. The soul separates through the heart and the crown chakra, and you leave your body. And a lot of times you see the body before you and you keep going and you can't understand why your body's not getting up. In that moment, you become a ghost unless someone is standing by to immediately cross you over. And so a ghost is a human being who used to have a physical body and now they don't. And we go back to the basic laws of physics. Energy is neither created nor destroyed. So if I hear one more arrogant person say, oh, there's no such things as ghosts, it's like, pow, let's use real physics. Understanding the physics of metaphysics is, if you can't destroy energy, what happens to the energy that animated you in life? And the answer is, it is never destroyed. It's what Christ meant when he talked about life everlasting. So you become a ghost. The problem people have is only the Tibetans and the Buddhists understand what you're supposed to do at death. No one else has a clue, certainly not children or babies. Most human beings focus on living as they should. They shouldn't have to focus on dying. But if you understand what happens at death, then you can better prepare. And so the 23rd Psalm, if you look around, there's information that we can garner. The 23rd Psalm states, "Lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why does it say that? And that psalm is repeated in every faith all over the world. It's not a Christian statement. It is a universal statement. We live in the third dimension in a mortal body. But when the seed atom of the soul separates, we enter the fourth dimension. Again, back to physics. You need a step-up transformer. You go from the third dimension. Now you've moved up to the fourth dimension. But now you have to get to the fifth dimension, which is the heaven world. That delta in the ease of transition is based on your frequency and your level of guilt. I've met so many beautiful, devout, precious Christian people who tell me they were born in sin and they died in sin and God couldn't love them. And it's heartbreaking. Of course, God's going to love them, not because I say so, because it is the nature of God to love us, no matter whether we did hair and makeup that day or we were a bad person, or we think we were a bad person. Most people are really good. But when they die, they forget their goodness and they only think of what they should have done, would have done, and they become completely immersed in the what ifs and if onlys. They hang around the living and they are the traditional ghost. A ghost can hang around for centuries. So I am okay. Yeah, I've been getting this chest cold thing to leave. Ghosts can hang around for centuries. And we have an opportunity to help them. And I've worked a large part of my life to make it available so that anyone can cross over the dead. They don't have to have a medium. So that's kind of, did I answer your question, Susan?
Yes. Oh, hang on. Can you hear me all right? Oh, hang on. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can hear you.
Cool. What I guess the other, so that certainly explains what ghosts are. You're calling them ghosts. Some people call them spirits. So yeah, I really totally get that. I love how you've explained it too in the dimensions and how we sort of get stuck here in this like earth dimension and then we need to be helped to go forward. Now, before we get back to helping how they go forward or go to the light or whatever your terminology is, how does it feel for a regular person to be aware that there is spirit or ghost in the house or in their environment?
For a regular person, they feel that there's something out of the corner of their eye and they turn away and look, but there's nothing there. They feel something whoosh past them. I had a client's teenage daughter walk through a ghost in a grocery store and she felt like she was walking through water. You can hear them walking up and down. You can feel like you are not alone in your house. And if the ghost is trying to take over your body, you can feel you're not alone in your body. I've had that happen to people recently. And so the person may have children who see the ghost in full aspect. And what that term full aspect means is that you can see the entire person. One woman had a psychic 6-year-old. Child was so profoundly psychic, she saw every ghost everywhere they went. And people don't always die with clothes on. And it was very difficult for this parent, for the child that was that psychic. So sometimes I see them in exactly what they were or weren't wearing at death. Sometimes you can see what happened to their body at death, which is really difficult. Sometimes you can hear them. Sometimes they call you. If depending on your ability to manage the situation, you can start coughing because you're breathing in what I call psychic soot. I don't use the word spirits because it's a catch-all. There are many beings in the fourth dimension. Some of them are souls who used to be human beings. Some of them are black magicians. Some of them are lower realm intelligences. And some of them are just elements of evil that you would not want to wrap your brain around. And unknowingly lump it all together.
Thank you. That's lovely to get that distinction. Because I don't tend to use the terminology ghost because of all the negative connotations that come up with, say, the shows, you know, the movies and that you see. And they all sort of put it down to ghosts or, you know, that sort of side of it. But when you're referring to ghosts as human beings that have become ghosts or, you know, they've left their body, that makes a lot more sense. And when you refer to spirit, you're referring to an all-over, an all-encompassing, which can involve a lot of negative energies and other aspects. I really, really like that. I think that is that's so nice when we can define it in a logical sense. And I knew that having you on this show was going to do that because you've got that logical background, but that spiritual or that openness for it. All right, so Tina, we have worked out how it feels, what it's about when you've got a ghost in your house. We've understood what ghosts are. We have that really clear understanding now of what ghosts are. So that's taken away, as far as I'm concerned, it's taken away a lot of any fear that could be there. Now we need to go into how we can help them, or why did you decide that you wanted to help them?
Imagine that you are, this happened to my year-old grandson about a month ago. He had two things occur about 3 weeks apart. People forget how profoundly psychic children are because the veil between the realms is much thinner with children. And what that means is that your ability to see between the fourth and the fifth dimension is much clearer. Remember, babies only know the truth that they see. And so my son calls me and he says, Jack is screaming his head off. We've never heard this kind of a cry before. Nothing solves this. Can you remote view it and tell us if there's someone here? So I said, sure. Nothing like having a psychic on speed dial. So I looked around and there is a 7-year-old little girl, long blonde hair, cute with blue eyes and dress on. And I mean, I know what's in their house and their house is clean. So she had to have come from somewhere. And she took delight in trying to stick pins in Jack. That's why he was screaming. And so I asked her, how did she get to the house? And she said, well, I followed his sister home. Okay, well, his older sister is in the third grade. And I said, well, where's your mommy? And she said, mommy's at home and all she does is sit and cry. And I try and I try and I try to talk to her, but mommy won't talk to me back. Is mommy mad at me? And I said, no, sweetheart, your mommy's not mad at you. But did something happen to you? Tell me what's the last thing you remember. And she said, I was swinging. And I was swinging so high and I let my hands go. And the next thing I remember, I'm standing next to mommy and she's crying. And of course, She fell off the swing and she died. And so I brought in a child angel. A lot of people tell me they don't want to impose on their angels. And I remind them, angels earn karma for helping mortal people. So by all means, bring in an angel, which I did. I brought in a child angel and an adult angel. I had them wrap this golden cloak around this child. And I told her that she had died. And I have to break that news to her. And I asked the angels to cross her over. And that took me, I don't know, 10 minutes, just because I had a conversation with her. So I texted my son back and he said, Jack's fine now. He said, I don't know what you did, but it's like somebody turned a switch and he stopped screaming. Okay, wow. That was a ghost. A couple weeks later, I get another phone call from James and he says, Jack's at it again, only this time it's a completely different scream. He is so terrified that we don't know what to do. Can you look again? I said, sure, I'll be glad to. So I looked around and he had cleaned out. He has several different buildings on his property up here in Washington State. He cleaned out something. And when he cleaned it out, there was some dark being that happened to have been stuck in there and been there for 50 years. This was not a ghost. This was a dark intelligence. So I brought in angels, which are spiritual police, and I had him forcibly removed and crossed over. You can cross these intelligences over, but I don't determine where they go. It's beyond my pay grade. So I had someone else take him. And as soon as I did that, and I psychically cleaned Jack's bedroom in the house, Jack stopped crying and went to sleep. And so the next day I went into his bedroom and I treated it. I'm a feng shui consultant as well. You kind of have to be able to help a house that's got a lot of problems. Treated the house, and Jack hasn't had any more problems.
Wow, that is amazing. And I love that difference between the two there. You're talking about, like you say, a ghost, and then you're talking about, what was it, a darker energy? What was that called again? Sorry?
I call them dark intelligences. They are not, okay. They are not in, they have not ever been in mortal form. They exist. Right. It's like mushrooms live underground until they manifest and you become aware of them. Well, these live in the fourth dimension and they influence the living in certain ways, or they make problems with cars, or I can go into agonizing detail on what these intelligences can do. But if your frequency is high enough, it cannot affect you. It's all,
yes,
again, back to the physics, the metaphysics. It's a math problem. If you keep your frequency high enough, their frequency is low. They can't make the delta change and affect you.
Yes, I've heard that before. Yes, that's wow. But I haven't heard it in that way. And I think that's what's so good about these sort of podcasts, that I love it because I'm getting all this information, and the guests that I try and have on have to have, well, they don't have to. I like them when they've got that analytical background, because you have had to make sense of it for it to resonate properly with you. And I'm the same as that, Tina. I have to make sense of it. Intuition had to make sense to me before I could go any further with it, before I could resonate with it. And so the things that you're saying, I just love how you're bringing them forward. But before we go on, I just want to let people know, because on the TV web show, obviously we've got the video going, we've got little ticker tape going at the bottom on how to contact you or your website. But for the podcast listeners, they don't know that. So you can actually contact Tina at a website, which is really easy, ghosthelpers.com. Nice and easy. Love that. I can spell it and I can speak it. And that's really good, because some of the websites I had so much trouble with.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And if you do want to, I did have the email contact too. So it's... the email is contact@ghosthelpers.com. So ghosthelpers.com, you'll find Tina. You'll be able to get onto all the details there. Now, back to you again, Tina. Right, so we've talked about again, how a ghost feels. So how we understand what it is. We understand what a ghost is now. And again, the difference between a ghost and in that the dark energies that you're talking about. Okay, so we've discovered we've got a ghost in the house. What are we going to, and again, I know just personally that we get visitors, I call them visitors, we get visitors quite often. And I also believe that visitors are coming to us, or the ghosts are coming to us, because they feel that you can help them. So people shouldn't necessarily shy away from it, but allow them to, you know, help them, help that ghost cross over. But I want your take on it, because that's just mine. We've discovered we've got a ghost in the house. What do we do now?
Well, you have a couple of options. On ghosthelpers.com, there is a video of me saying the crossing over prayer. And I strongly suggest that people say it three times. And that can be really, really super powerful. And there's also the Crossing Over Prayer Book that has 88 extraordinary prayers to help the living and the dead. Let's say that you are a truly brave soul and you go to a bridge where a lot of people have jumped off and killed themselves. And there have been some stories about these bridges. And the bridge frequency drops every time someone jumps off the bridge. And it becomes a magnet for people who are severely depressed. In the Crossing Over Prayer Book, there is the Crossing Over Prayer for a person who has taken their own life. That's a great one to use because it's even more focused and specific. That book has a Crossing Over Prayer for a murdered loved one. If you've been murdered, the rage, the anger is staggering. Having dealt with an awful lot of murdered people, this is something you really, really want to do. Assuming somebody just, they've gone to heaven now, I would love to tell you that that's true, but the vast majority of people don't know that they can do that, or they're so angry, their frequency is so low, they can't make that delta transition from the fourth to the fifth dimension, but you can help them. If you have a child that's died, remember the Crossing Over Prayer is this overarching prayer that will work for all of these. But for people who go to a battlefield and want to help war dead, for people who know that, let's say there's a bus accident and children die, wouldn't it be nice to have a specific prayer you can say to address a specific situation for that type of death? I have a Crossing Over Prayer for people who lost their lives through cancer. So the point is that if you decide that this is the compassion that every single one of us will want for ourselves, someone to help. And every one of these prayers calls upon angels. But let's say that you don't have access to my prayers, that you don't have the Crossing Over Prayer Book, and you don't remember what the prayer says. What can you do? You can call upon angels to come to this person that you sense in your house, and to wrap that person in a golden cloak of healing light. And as soon as that cloak touches the energy of the soul, all the things that caused that person's death begin to heal on so many levels. And then direct the angels to cross this person into the heaven world immediately, right now. Do not be intimidated by directing an angel. Angels must be told how the mortal person wants the help applied. There are certain spiritual laws that apply to angels. If you can understand that even a little bit and realize that you can use this staggering, powerful resource that's an angel, you can change the spiritual life of so many souls. I had I did a radio show in Belgium several years ago, and that host took the Crossing Over Prayer and walked the graveyards of all the battlefields from World War I and II wherever he could go. And he just, he would hear these little thank yous, thank yous, thank yous. And the gratitude was so moving for him because he could hear it and he could feel it. And he didn't think he was that psychic. But remember, the gratitude that you feel, you can't know what that gratitude is like for that soul. You can't even wrap your brain around it.
Right.
So these are some things that you can do. You can help them, even if you're afraid. And if you're afraid, ask for an angel to stand beside you and help you find your courage.
Wow, I love that, Tina. Wow, that's amazing.
That's amazing.
I'm happy. I can hear my echo coming back again. As soon as I come back onto the screen, it starts to go a little bit funny, but that's all right. What I wanted to ask you, and because you're talking about this now, I'm not sure how other people are taking it on board, but I know how I'm taking it on board. So I need to ask you a few different things. One of the things I want to ask you is my sister passed. So she had brain cancer and she passed probably 11 years ago now. How do we know when we've lost family or we've lost somebody, how do we know whether they've actually gone all the way, like all to the fifth realm, all the way to heaven, and they're not stuck in this fourth realm? How do we know that? Because straight away I'm thinking, oh, I don't know if my sister's gone there. You know, like, I mean, I had every intention that she had, and there's a story behind it, which we will talk about later. But I could almost imagine that there'd be other people sitting there thinking, what if my loved one hasn't gone all the way, like gone to the fifth? How do we know whether they have or not, or do we know?
That is an outstanding question. And it's one of the hardest questions that I can even attempt to answer. And the answer is you don't know.
Yep.
Unless you feel the person around you. And I get that a lot. I feel so-and-so is with me, or I can feel their presence, or I can, excuse me, it's been a...
You are? Yes, I understand what you mean about feeling, and that's always had this like a positive context to it, like, I can feel mum and dad are still with me. Is that good or maybe not so good? I'm not sure. And this is from, I know a lady that says that all the time. She says, no, mum and dad are still with me, and she's very psychic. You're right, Tina. And she is quite psychic, and she says mum and dad are there with me. What does that mean then?
I mean, it means that she's holding them. It's called attachment. I'm sorry, just a minute.
Oh, you have a drink of water. I'll just mute. I've just muted your mic so we can't hear her coughing, because poor Tina. And she did say something about that when there's ghosts around, you could have that little bit of a cough, but I think Tina's getting the cold. But okay, I'll unmute her mic and bring her back. I think she's stopped coughing. Hang on.
I'm stopped coughing.
Okay. All right. So yeah. So you're saying that's attachment. So and I guess that takes me straight away back to when people. No, finish that. Finish the attachment first, because I've got another question I need to ask you. Sorry.
That's okay. When a person dies, and you love them with an intensity that you can't even articulate. You love them so much. It is a normal mortal desire to hold on to them, especially if it's a child. Oh my gosh. I worked with a family, and my niece died when she was six. And I knew how to cross people over by the time she died. And another couple tried to help my sister and her family. We went to see them. And the night before we went to see them, their daughter, who had died 2 weeks prior, came to see me. And I don't even know how I was able to see her because I was grieving on a level I've never felt before. And she said, "You have to help me. Mommy's going to kill herself. Mommy's going to kill herself. You've got to help me. And she's never going to let me go. And it's horrible." And so the next day we were able to see the family and they thought they were going to help my sister's family. And I get there and I can feel that she's standing next to me. And so the parents are talking and everyone's trying to help each other. And the dad says to me, "Well, you know, I like to think that she crossed over." And I said, "And you know good and well she didn't, don't you?" And he's a physician. And he said, "No, she didn't cross over. I know she didn't. I'm holding her here." And I said, "Well, then she can't progress spiritually if you hold on to her. You have to let her go. And your last act as her parent is to cross her over. And I'm going to help you do that right now." And oh, wow. I have this little ability to enable the parents to see her. And as soon as they saw her, and I could tell because their tears just start pouring down their faces. I had them say goodbye one last time. And I brought the angels in, and I am very firm. Because once done is done, once they're crossed over, they're not coming back. And if a psychic says, "Oh, I think they're with you," they're not. That's not true. They're gone. They said goodbye. And I said, "Tell me when you're ready." And the dad said, "We're ready now. We're ready. I understand now." And she's so grateful that we're letting her go. And they got to see her walk into the light. That doesn't happen with everyone.
No.
If you are worried about whether or not your loved one has crossed over, say the prayer over and over and over and over. A lot of people feel a shift. I mean, it's been used all over the world. I mean, we've been beta testing it and working on it, and it's been proven since 2012 when it was written. So we're coming up on 10 years now it's been used. Keep saying it for that person. And you will be doing them a great service. And it doesn't matter how long ago the person died. All that matters is your intention for them. The other benefit of crossing over a soul is that it mitigates grief. Because when you're grieving, the soul who died is also grieving. So you can't separate your grief from their grief. So your grief is intensified.
Whoa.
Yes.
Okay.
What a concept.
Okay, I need to ask you this too. We're running out of time. I just want to let everybody know to start with, Tina's got books on Amazon. So Tina Irwin, E-R-W-I-N. She's got her Crossing Over Prayer book on Amazon, and she's got this great Lightworkers books as well. There's a couple of Lightworkers, but Ghosts from a Ghost Point of View. So there's a few of those books there. So jump on Amazon and have a look for Tina Irwin and get the books there. But what I wanted to say, Tina, what I want to ask you is, and this might be out of your pay grade, as you said, when you say you go to a psychic or somebody like, there's the guy that used to be on the TV. I can't even remember his name. But when they talk about people that have passed over, if they've gone to that fifth realm, can you still connect with them? Like, there's a lot of people that sort of go, a lot of psychics.
John Gray. Sorry? John Gray, I think, is who you're talking about.
Yeah. How is that working? Have those people, like, if he's connecting with that ghost or that person or that past loved one, are they in the fourth dimension or are they in the fifth dimension? And if they are in the fifth dimension, can you still contact them like that?
No. If they're in the fourth dimension, then the psychic who does that is, it's like reading, the only way I can describe it, it's like reading psychic braille. Let's say that this is the ghost. I used to have a crystal mind, so I have a lot of rock. Let's say that this is the ghost and you are I'll move it over here. But you can see through it. So you're the psychic. You're kind of psychically using psychic braille to read that soul. And you can see the connections with the person, the living person is in front of you. So if the soul is nearby, the psychic can read it. If the soul's not nearby, there is nothing to read. And once you're in the fifth dimension, you can come back and visit on two occasions, and two occasions only. You're allowed to go to your funeral briefly, and you are allowed to contact a loved one in the sleep state, but you cannot come back. And I have had people beg me, if you cross me over, I'm going to want to come back. And I'm going, dude, you won't ever want to come back. What you have in the heaven world is beyond anything you can ever imagine. It is the peace of release and joy that will blow your mind. And I would never deprive you of something so phenomenal.
Wow. Okay. So now we're starting. So every time you're like, I've done a lot of healings, and while I'm doing the healings, I do get visitors like from the one in particular was a friend of mine whose husband came to visit her. And so that spirit that came was then obviously in the fourth dimension and not of the fifth dimension. Right. Okay.
Right.
And so in now knowing what I know now, I could have helped her help him pass over by reciting right. this prayer or something to that effect. Okay. That's lovely. Look, Tina, we're running out of time. I want to let the listeners know that I am so fascinated by how Tina explains her theories and brings them forward and how she is helping people. But she also, there's going to be two more podcasts. Okay, I'm just going to put it out there. So we're going to talk about ghosts and children. That's one podcast. So how we can help our children with this, because I know my children experienced it. I know some of my nieces experienced it, and I know my grandchildren have going through it too. So it's being able to help them in that context. And the other aspect, the other podcast I want to talk about is going a little bit more deeper into when people are actually passing over, like when they're actually dying and going through that grief and they are understanding there. And I want to talk about that mainly because I was with my sister, the family was with my sister when she passed away. And this is the first family member to pass away in that context. So getting an understanding of that, especially if people are with their loved ones and they have terminal cancer or something like that, they want to help them move through the stages. So we've got two more podcasts coming up with Tina, so make sure you listen in. But Tina, just to close off, is there anything else you want to bring forward?
I guess my call to action for any listener is, other than coughing here, my call to action would be the compassion you will want for yourself is what you give to others. When you cross over a ghost, the karmic clock stops and you enable that person, and they're a person to you. They'll always be a person to you, but you enable them to experience a joy and a delight beyond anything you can imagine. It is the gift of compassion that will engender enormous gratitude for you. Even if you're afraid, ask for an angel to be with you. Read these prayers and read them over and over again, and you will have done great spiritual service for the world. How can you help the world? You remove one ghost at a time with love in your heart and compassion in your soul.
Oh, thank you so much. Oh, that just resonates so lovely with me. Oh, okay. We've got to go. We are coming back. There will be more podcasts, so stay tuned. We'll be putting these ones out here. But thank you so much, Tina, for your input here. I just loved it. It was amazing.
So glad.
All right, I'm going to say goodbye. Stay on the line and I'll chat with you in a sec. I've got to do this one. And hey, guys, wasn't that incredible? So if you want to get a bit more understanding of that, listen to it again. I'm going to listen to this again because I want to get that clear understanding of the differences between ghosts, what Tina's classing as ghosts, and those spiritual entities, or and I tend to call them entities, but that spiritual aspect, because there can be a lot of negativities in that side of it too. So listen to that again and stay tuned. There is more podcasts coming up, especially for your children and different areas like that. But that's me for today. Have a great week. We will catch up with you next week. It is getting closer to Christmas while we're recording this. So, the crazy season's just about to start. And this is so timing because I think in Australia they're releasing Ghostbusters, the new Ghostbusters. So how about that? Aren't we in sync? All right, guys, have a great week and I'll catch you soon. Bye for now.